Time now for the latest world sport from the BBC. Hello, I'm Kath Leahy. Coming up, the Premier League managers have been having their say ahead of Sunday's final showdown.
For 1 year in this championship, that is very hard. The team that deserve to win, always.
The last game of the season, a thriller. Fantastic for the neutral, fantastic for the media. Agony for both clubs.
Novak Djokovic loses on the blue clay in Madrid, and a change of shoes for Tiger Woods moves him up the leaderboard in Sawgrass. But football first, and Sunday sees the conclusion of the English Premier League season as we'll find out who will be crowned champions. A win for Manchester City against Queen's Park Rangers will secure their first league title in 44 years, something that's not only good for City but all football, according to their manager Roberto Mancini.
Sometimes, if there is other teams, not the usual team, Manchester United or Chelsea, like in the last 10 years, I think that is good for the championship.
Manchester United could pick up their 20th league title with a win against Sunderland, but only if City slip up. The United manager, Sir Alex Ferguson, knows just how difficult a task winning the league title is.
The manager must take the most credit if you win a league here, because if when you've got squads of players trying to orchestrate the harmony in the players, is very important and make everyone feel they've played their part. It's not easy in the modern day game. So to win the league is a massive step forward for Mancini.
The Manchester United defender Patrice Evra isn't put off, despite the odds being stacked against his team ahead of Sunday's title deciding matches.
I still believe we will win this title. I know the destiny is not our hand, but make sure we start very well the game against Sunderland, because it's not an easy place to go. It's the last game. I think Sunderland we will win in front of all their fans, but we have no choice. If we want to keep believe in the miracle, we have to win against Sunderland.
The Newcastle United manager Alan Pardew has been awarded manager of the season. It's certainly been a great season for Newcastle and his new signings, including Senegal's Demba Ba, a player Pardew is naturally very keen to keep.
We are trying to negotiate with Denver to stay. And, you know, when you look at my media, you'd understand that I've been trying to get the fans to buy into keeping him here. Because Denver isn't about money. Everybody needs to understand that. And if Denver's listening tonight, I wouldn't embarrass him by saying it's not about money with Denver. It's about love and feeling in European football. So firstly, we've brought to Denver European football. Now, if I hadn't have done that, I think Denver will be gone this summer.
Another manager who's been fielding questions about where his players will be next season is Tottenham's Harry Redknapp. Redknapp's been talking about speculation linking his winger Gareth Bale to the Spanish giants Barcelona.
I wouldn't think there's the slightest bit of truth in that. Whoever, not a chance. Not a chance, I wouldn't have thought. You've got to keep your best players. If you don't, then where are you going? You know, you can forget about ever Champions League football in the future if you don't keep your best players and add to them. Let alone selling them, you can't be selling your best players off.
Wolverhampton Wanderers, who were relegated from the Premier League with three matches to play, have announced that Sturle Solbakken will be their new manager. The 44-year-old Norwegian will officially take over on the 1st of July. Their current caretaker boss, Terry Connor, will still retain a role at Molineux as part of the coaching staff. And he's positive that the former Cologne manager will help coaching staff. And he's positive that the former Cologne manager will help them return back to the Premier League.
We'll welcome Stoller as the new manager, and we'll report for work on Monday. So when he comes in to address the players, he'll know that he's got a fully committed staff behind him in our quest to regain Premiership football. I have never met him, but I certainly, you know, checked his record and been told of what he's done as a coach and a player. And four titles in 5 years, is it? Stands you in good stead. So I expect to find a very organised manager come in who has appetite for winning games and being successful.
Now to tennis here on the BBC World Service, and there was another shock at the Madrid Open on Friday as the world number one and defending champion Novak Djokovic went out of the competition, which is for the first time being played on controversial blue clay. With more, here's the BBC's tennis correspondent Jonathan Overend.
During a lively and angry press conference, Djokovic reiterated his intention to boycott this tournament next year if the blue clay remains. He attacked the ATP and its former leader for allowing the controversial change and ignoring the opinion of the players. He's been complaining all week, Djokovic, so perhaps it was no surprise when he lost to his compatriot Janko Tipsanovic. In contrast, Roger Federer, who's also opposed to the blue clay, then came out and found a way to win against David Ferrer.
Well, let's get a flavour of that news conference. A straight-talking Novak Djokovic says he's not interested in further negotiations with the tournament organisers.
I really don't need to meet anybody. I mean, there is no discussion in my eyes. You know, it's very simple. No blue clay for me. That's it. You know, the test has failed. You know, this is totally different in the middle of the red clay season. You know, I'm coming here as a defending champion, and I have a lot of things which are important. You know, I accept every match and every tournament, you know, seriously, and I want to perform my best. But if I cannot move and I put this you know, pressure all the time on my muscles and the body and you know, having in my mind the worry about eventually, you know, hopefully not getting injured and making some quick move because the court is so unpredictable, you know, then what's really the sense in playing here, you know? And this is what it is for 2012, but, you know, for 2013, if they stay blue and if they come up with fluorescent balls or whatever they come up with, you know, they can have their own tournament, but I'm not coming for sure.
Now to Florida and to golf's Players' Championship, where after a change of footwear, Tiger Woods is progressing nicely up the leaderboard. But that's not something that can be said for everyone, as the BBC's Conor McNamara reports from Sawgrass.
Rory McIlroy may be world number one, however he still can't figure out this famous stadium course. McIlroy finished 4 over for 2 rounds and has now missed the cut in all 3 visits here to Sawgrass. The overnight lead is shared between Zach Johnson, Matt Kuchar and Kevin Na, all on 8 under par. Scotland's Martin Laird is the leading European on 6 under. A late collapse denied him the chance to lead outright himself. Laird was at 10 under before dropping 4 shots on his last 3 holes. Tiger Woods started the second round in real danger of missing the cut himself. He changed shoes mid-round and seemed to change gears, regaining momentum to finish 4 under for the day, and far from worrying about the cut, Woods is now chasing the leaders. He's only 6 shots behind.
There was an upset at the semi-finals of basketball's Final Four in Istanbul on Friday night. The rank outsiders Olympiakos beat Barcelona 68-64, while CSKA Moscow came from behind to beat Panathinaikos. The BBC's basketball commentator Chris Mitchell was watching.
We had a brilliant comeback by CSKA Moscow, who beat Panathinaikos, but we waited and waited for the Spanish champions Barcelona to come back against Olympiakos, but it never materialised. As far as European basketball is concerned, this is a big shock. And even though it was an ugly game, it was one that the thousands of Olympiakos fans here in the Sinan Erdem Arena revelled in. As is often the case, their guard Spanoulis, who scored a game-high 21 points, was the hero. And the 3-point shot he hit near the buzzer in the fourth quarter effectively sealed the win in style. The Athens side, who haven't won the EuroLeague since 1997, now face CSKA Moscow, who performed the great escape. To give you an idea, Andre Kirilenko, the CSKA forward, hit a 3 in the third quarter that put them ahead for the very first time in the game. They'd been down by 14 points after the first 10 minutes. Kirilenko, who joined Moscow during the NBA lockout, scored a game-high 17 points. The Russian club then will be favourites to beat the Greeks on Sunday, but don't write off Olympiakos. Their coach, Dusan Ivkovic, has a score to settle against CSKA. They were the team that sacked him just a few years ago.
Chris Mitchell reporting. In the NBA, the Memphis Grizzlies have beaten the LA Clippers 90-88 to take their playoff series to a 7th and deciding game. Don't forget, Sports World returns later. Russell Fuller and a panel of special guests will be previewing the final day of the English Premier League. Join him from 14 hours GMT if you can. But for now, that's the latest world sport from